Welcome to the Phil Nason Show. That was John Fogerty, center field, on the Friday, June the 7th, 2013 edition of the Phil Nason Show. And I want to thank you all for taking the time to listen each and every day at 5 p.m. Eastern on Max Sports Channels, and again at 10 p.m. Eastern on TalkSuperStation.com. We want to thank the folks who were regular listeners at Independent Radio LA. Their stream is down for a while, but when it returns, so will we. And we also want to thank the Ohio Sports Radio Network for carrying this show for as long as it's done. They've decided to shift to local programming, which is cool with me. And we were really happy to be here. And we were very happy that a lot of you decided to come along with us. So thank you very much. Tonight's baseball, and coming up later, Alex Hall from AthleticsNation.com will be here to talk West, or the American League West. We're going to spend a little more time with that today. But up first, from bloggingmets.com for the weekly New York Mets Report, is our friend Mark Berman. Mark, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Good. I'm good. I'm sorry we're out of time already because the intro took 25 minutes.
You're always the producer, aren't you? It just never leaves you. It never leaves you, does it?
I'm just joking around. I live everywhere.
I have to do all those things. Now, see here, folks. This is how it'll work. As soon as we finish, I'll say, geez, you know I had to do this. And Mark will go, oh, I know. Anyway, what's up, man? How's your week?
Pretty good. I had a better week than the Mets.
Yeah, well, most of us did. You know what? And might as well, before we start, this is the last Friday Mark will be here. Because he's a smart aleck. No, anyway, we are going to do a full hour show together. Probably either on a Wednesday or either Wednesdays or Tuesdays. It depends on his schedule and mine. But we're going to kick this up to 1 hour because Mets fans can't get enough of us, Mark.
Oh, does that cancel? I didn't realize that canceled this show. Well, disappearance.
Oh, okay. No, it would, because we've already covered most of it. And this way I can get someone else on here and we can even talk more baseball.
Okay. That sounds good.
No, that's okay. Because an hour of us is enough for a week, I think.
Would think so, yeah.
Well, we could probably do this every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be easy. We got nothing else going on in our lives.
Apparently, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, you're right. Anyway, the New York Mets have had some ups and downs. You know, we were pretty happy last week because we got four in a row. And then we went to Miami and lost three. And that kind of produced a question from one of our listeners, Mark. And they said, well, it seems like you guys have been fans for decades. And I guess we have been.
It's true.
Do you still enjoy watching the New York Mets? And I guess I'll let you go first, Mark.
Absolutely. I mean, as bad as the Mets are, and this is really the worst they've been in years, I still watch every game. I look forward to, you know, 4 o'clock here in Los Angeles, 4 o'clock every day. I'm so excited to turn the TV on and watch the game. In fact, tonight's game got rained out in Washington. And I was so disappointed when the broadcast came on and they showed the rain. And I'm like, oh, now what am I going to do? So, yeah, I still enjoy the games. You know, I love baseball so much. I mean, I'd rather obviously watch a winning team and a good team. But, you know, I just love baseball and I love the Mets and I will watch every game this year that I can. And, you know, doesn't matter if they're 50 games out of first place in September, I'm watching all the games. So yes, the answer is yes, I still enjoy watching them.
Yeah. And I do too. You know, I'm in a little different situation than Mark because I live in Greece and I do a show during the time that the Mets play live, but I love baseball. I love the Mets. I have loved the Mets forever. In fact, in 2 weeks, the 17th of June, I'll have a new Mets hat. My client from New York is coming. And they always ask me, what do you want when they come from America or whatever? I say, bring me a Mets hat. And they usually bring me a new hat, new T-shirt. And I'm really thrilled, like I was when I was a kid when I got my first Mets hat. As far as watching them goes, I love watching the Mets. I don't get to watch every game that they play. I try to watch Matt Harvey because he's just exciting. And like Mark said, you know, it's not a lot of fun to watch a losing team. Obviously, it's more fun to watch a winning team, but it's still baseball. It's still the New York Mets. And, well, when I got this question, I guess the first thing I thought about would, what would my life be without the Mets? And honestly, I don't know. You know, I love the Mets, even though they suck, and they do. And we know this, and we know that there's probably not a very bright future, at least in the immediate future. It's still the New York Mets. And we still love our team no matter what. And, you know, I understand people who say, well, I'm not going to root for the Mets anymore because they aren't doing so good. They're not spending money. I get that. But for me, no, that's the only team for me that it's got my heart. You know, I really believe that. Even though I like a lot of other teams because I love baseball. And even though this show, Mark, has kind of got me into this point where I've kind of stepped outside the fan thing as much of a team where I've just become a great fan of baseball more than ever before. The Mets are still my number one team. They always will be. In fact, I'm hoping to have to be buried in a New York Mets casket.
Really? I featured those on my website once.
Did you?
Yeah, they were just wacky Mets gift ideas, and there was the casket and a whole bunch of other stuff. So, yeah, you can find that on my site. But I probably won't be buried in a Mets casket. Well, maybe I will. Who knows?
Well, yeah, probably not. But either way, yeah, I think it would be kind of cool because, you know, most of the pictures, if you see pictures of me I put on Facebook when I'm not actually on the tennis court, I usually have a Mets shirt on somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm still representing, even though my hat's a little tattered because it may have had a tough winter. but needless to say, I do love watching the Mets, even though it's kind of painful. But I'm used to that, too, because, you know, we always have great memories to draw from. Now, I was alive as you were in 69. I don't remember them so much. I remember the billboards more than anything, you know, the Tom Terrific billboards. And as far as being a fan of the organization goes, no, I'm not a fan of them at all. But is the team? Sure. Sure, even if they're bad. But what is the deal with Zach Wheeler? What's going on there, Mark? Because you wrote a blog post. And, folks, if you really want to go and listen to some Mets talk and read Mets stuff, go over to bloggingmets.com. It's the best site out there, I think. Mark tells it straight. I mean, really, and he doesn't care what anybody thinks, and that's important. They said, so I didn't see that game, Mark, where the guys were talking about, because John Neese had a little bit of tendonitis in his shoulder or something, and they thought, why didn't you bring Zach Wheeler up? Now, we know why that is, but when do you think we're going to see Zach Wheeler?
Whenever the Super 2 deadline passes, which is around June 15th. It usually varies a few days, but it's around June 15th. The Mets are, you know, insistent. Okay. The Mets insist that the Super 2 deadline has nothing to do with when they're going to bring Wheeler up. And the fact that they're saying that means that it does. You know, it's the old saying, when people say it's not about the money, it's always about the money. This is about the money. They don't want to give Wheeler a second, an additional year of arbitration. So they're waiting till they don't have to do that, which will be June 15th or something. And it's so obvious that that is the case, because here the rotation is in shambles. Here was Neese, who was going to be out. Wheeler was going to pitch that day in the minors anyway. It was his day to pitch, and they still don't bring him up. So obviously it's got everything to do with that. And the fact that people still believe Sandy Alderson when he says, oh, no, it's got nothing to do with that, is shocking to me, because, you know, he's lied before, he'll lie again. And this is such a blatant lie, and it's more than circumstantial evidence that is the case. I mean, they're going to bring him up days after the deadline passes, so it can't be a coincidence. And what they were talking about on the broadcast, Keith and Gary were talking about it, and they were coming up with all these things about the Mets were making all these excuses like, oh, what if he does well? Then we have to put him back in the minors, or what if he doesn't do well? It was shocking that they were having the conversation at all, because it's all about the Super 2. End of story.
Yeah, I think you're right, because if it weren't the case, he would have came up opening day.
Yeah, I mean, well, I can see them not bringing him up opening day, because he only threw a couple of innings in spring training because he had that oblique. I think it was an oblique injury. So he did need a few starts. But yeah, once May came around and again, the rotation was messed up already, then they would have brought him up then. But yeah, it's all about money.
Yeah, well, it always is. And unfortunately, they've spent it in such bad ways. And you can almost not want to blame Wilpon, even though we do, for not wanting to throw more money into the well, because he's basically throwing a lot of money in the toilet. You know, he's
right. He trusted the wrong guy. He had Omar Minaya spending his money, and that's not a good thing.
Well, now he doesn't trust Alderson to spend any of his money, so.
He probably doesn't have any money anymore.
Maybe not. Well, he probably does, but he's just not going to spend it on ball players. And that is a pity. Ike Davis, how much longer?
Well, you know what? He keeps having a couple, you know, games where he'll get one or two hits, and it's like, okay, now he's going to break out, and then he doesn't. I think before yesterday's game, he was 5 for his last 15 with a home run or something. So, you know, that's a .333 average. So maybe he's going to break out. And then last night, I think he got one hit maybe. But he keeps resetting his clock by getting a hit every now and then. So I don't know. You know what? At this point, I would just keep him up, because he is starting to show signs of life. And who's in the minor leagues that's going to be better? So just let him stay and let him – and the Mets aren't winning anyway. So let him – I would keep him up.
Yeah, but when you talk about watching the Mets, do they still bring you joy? Not when he bats.
Yeah. Although it is kind of interesting. He keeps changing his approach. Like every at bat, like his hands are higher, his hands are lower. He's moving around less. He's closer to the plate. He's farther away from the plate. He just, I don't know if there are too many people talking to him or if he's just in his head too much, but he needs to go back to what he was doing when he was hitting and just do that.
Yeah, but I don't think he even remembers.
There's video for that.
Yeah, that's true, but he's tried so many different things. You know, he's almost desperate, and you can't blame him because people are bagging on him. I'm bagging on him. I'm sure it's not too pleasant for him in the locker room, in the clubhouse, when they're all looking at him like, when are you going to start hitting?
Yeah. It can't be easy.
And probably he's never batted eighth in his life.
No, probably not.
I mean, if he was playing for the St. Louis, well, if he were with St. Louis, he wouldn't be there anymore. But if he were and La Russa was the manager, he'd be batting ninth because pitchers hit eighth over there.
Right, which was ridiculous. But
yeah, but it's a great name for a blog. My friend runs it. We're going to try to have him on next Friday. But anyhow, the National League East, Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised by any of this. Are you?
No. The division is actually shaping up the way I had predicted, because I'm a genius apparently.
I thought so.
Thank you. I had Atlanta first going into it. I thought they, you know, the pitching was great, the hitting was great. I'm actually considering how poorly BJ Upton is doing, and Dan Uggla also is hitting terribly. The fact that they're still in first place by a lot is kind of surprising. But overall, I'm not surprised by Atlanta.
Are the police coming to get you?
Yes, the cops are chasing me.
I figured as much.
But I'm busy, so I'll go later.
Yeah, that's okay. Keep your standoff alive. We got about 14 or 12 more minutes.
I wasn't sure you could hear that, but I have my window open, so I'm terribly sorry.
No, that's okay. Don't worry about it. It's all good. And you're a producer, for goodness sakes. Anyway. Yeah. You know what? I predicted Atlanta to go to the World Series, in fact, and I'm pretty excited watching them play because that's a good organization, too. Philly's weird for me. I always has been. I've never been high on the Washington Nationals, and now it looks like Strasburg's out for 2 weeks. Who knows what's going to happen with young fella they got up there whose name is
Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper, yeah. He's got to have an MRI on that knee. When he hit the wall, did you see that?
I did.
Goodness.
He cut his neck on that, right?
He really smoked himself.
Is the knee injury from that?
Yeah, he hit the wall. If you remember, he hits the wall and he, like the cartoons, he hit the wall and straight down he went.
I do remember that. I remember, like I said, he cut his neck or there was some blood on his face or something. And I saw the replay 100 times and then I stopped following it. I didn't realize the knee injury was from that, but that's too bad.
Yeah, it's too bad. He's reckless. You know, he's young though. It's that youth, I guess, but, I'm not surprised by Washington. I think they're going to skid even further.
I think so, too. I mean, the way the division is now, Braves, Phillies, Nationals, Mets, Marlins is the way I predicted it. I think the Phillies have one last run in them, and then it's time to rebuild. But, you know, the thing is the Phillies are at 500 right now, and they don't have Halliday. Cole Hamels isn't pitching well. Howard's hobbling. Utley, is he back on the DL? I don't even know.
No, I don't think so. I think he's still there.
Okay, so they don't even have their best guys. And Halliday, I don't think, is coming back. But once everyone else gets healthy, if they're around 500, when that happens, they can make a run. It's similar to last year, except they were 10 games under 500, so they were just too far back to make a run. But they ended up at 500 last year. And the Nationals, yeah, I was not high on them either. And I thought they had their one big shot last year, and they screwed it by sitting in Strasburg. And they're paying for it now. Strasburg's out and Harper's out and Zimmerman just came back from the DL.
Yeah, the third baseman Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah, Jordan Zimmerman's doing great.
Yeah, he got roughed up the last couple of starts though.
But, he looked good against the Mets though.
Well, yeah, but before that he did lose a couple games. But Ryan Zimmerman, he's having troubles.
Yeah.
He can't throw at all. And I don't think it's the yips either. I think that hamstring injury of his really affected him. And I don't think he can still push off. But he hits all right. So, but still in all, Philly, yeah. I think I had Washington finishing second. Mm-hmm. and Philly finishing third. I didn't have a lot of hope for Philadelphia. I never do. But, and that's probably wrong. Cliff Lee's had a pretty good year for them so far.
Yeah, they just have a good team. I mean, obviously, you know, we hate the Phillies, but they're a good team. You know, they have a lot of veterans, and they have good veterans like Rollins and Utley and Howard. And these are guys, when they're not injured, are going to play and are going to play well. They just have to hope they just stay healthy. Howard, that Howard situation is going to be one to watch over the next couple of years, because he looks like he can't even move anymore around first base with the knees and the ankles or whatever's wrong with him. And he can still hit, but he's going to have to be DH soon. And they're paying him $25 million a year. So I don't know what's going to happen there, if they're going to have to trade him or most of the contract, or just live with him at first base. But he's just hobbled. He can't play the field anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, that Achilles was a mother. Boy, I'll tell you, when you rupture that at age 33, 34, it's a tough road to hoe. But Atlanta.
That's the other thing. Oh, right. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
He's also older. Like, he started when he was 27. So everyone, it appears like he's younger, but he started when he was 27. He's already in his, like you said, he's about 32, 33 or something.
Yeah, he might be older than that even.
Yeah, and they gave him that contract, $25 million a year, but like 2 years before they had to re-sign him. And what a mistake that was.
Yeah, but they wanted to keep their guy because he was on fire then.
Yeah, then, you know, either wait, or if you're going to sign someone that early, you get a discount for that. You don't give someone premium money that early, I think.
Okay, that's fair enough. Atlanta, though, sheesh. You know, they come up with this pitching staff of theirs. They're all young, all a bunch of no-names, and they're just killing everybody. And B.J. Upton, I don't know what happened to him, but his little brother – it's just destroying everybody.
Yeah. I mean, he's slowed down since his hot start, but still 14 homers, 29 RBIs, only batting 257. But yeah, he was worth that trade. I mean, I was hoping the Mets were going to get him, but not at the cost of Wheeler. I agree with that. But apparently he was going to trade started and ended with asking for Wheeler. But yeah, he looks great.
I would have definitely traded Wheeler for him.
Oh, really?
I'm not high on Wheeler.
Oh.
I'm not a big fan of these prospects. I always believe that the farm, they're either to help the ball club on their own or to help them via trade. And thus far, Zach Wheeler's done nothing.
True, but you know what? A year ago this time, Zach Wheeler was Matt Harvey, and look what Matt Harvey's doing.
Okay.
But I agree 100% with you. Most prospects don't make it. I mean, look at Jerry's Familia and Jeremy Mejia. They were the guys, you know, two, 3 years ago. Oh, these are going to be the rotation of the future. And, you know, Familia's going to miss the rest of the season with surgery. Mejia had his issues. So you just never know with prospects. So if the Mets had traded Wheeler for Upton, I wouldn't have been crazy about it, but I wouldn't have been too upset, because Upton is a great player. He's, what, 20, 25 years old or something?
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't have been terrible. I was talking about on the site about Andre Ethier.
I saw that.
Trading for him. I would trade for him if the Dodgers ate half of his contract, but I wouldn't give up Wheeler for him, because Ethier's already 31 years old. You don't trade like a potential ace for someone who's already 31. I just think that's ridiculous.
Well, they're going to be looking for a pitcher, that's for sure. I don't think they're going to dump Ethier anyway, because those guys have been injured so much, they have to keep him for insurance.
True. I could see if a team that's desperate for outfielders approaches the Dodgers and agrees to take on the whole contract, then I can see them making the trade. But if they have to eat half the contract, the Dodgers won't do it right now anyway.
Yeah, but you know what they might do is they might part with Puig.
No.
You never know, man.
I don't think so. I haven't seen him yet, but apparently he's unbelievable.
Eric Stevens says he's amazing. He watched them all through spring training, and he said he's amazing. But sometimes amazing things happen. And Ethier is a proven major leaguer. This kid's had a couple good nights, but by all accounts, he's a real deal, obviously. But
yeah,
still, but you never know, man. I like the blockbuster trade, dude.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, the thing about Ethier, though, is he was never good enough to warrant that contract. I mean, he's getting $17 million a year. He's not a $17 million a year player. He's an $8 million a year player, maybe. So I like Ethier, but he's not a superstar. He's not going to. He's not a difference maker. He's a good piece of a puzzle for a team. So that's why I think he'll be the one that goes. Because this Puig, is that how you pronounce it? Puig?
Puig.
league. He looks like he could be a superstar. He could be a difference maker. So I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Now, obviously, if Ethier was in a Mets uniform, he would be the second best player on the team.
Yeah.
That's how bad the Mets are.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, it says a lot.
It does say a lot. But still in all, now the Mets have this weekend Miami again, right?
Yes, in Citi Field. Yeah, it's hard to say with the Mets that they have to sweep someone, but the Mets have to sweep these guys. I mean, they have to, just to get some fan confidence back. I mean, okay, they swept us in their place. We're going to sweep them in our place. They need a sweep.
Yeah, I'll tell you something about Miami. They're retooling terrible. Again. Oh, they're terrible now, but they're retooling. They're doing what the Mets should be doing. You know, they brought up this kid, Jacob Turner, who was with Detroit and came over in that Infante and Sanchez trade. And he's pitching this whole, you know, tonight or Friday night, or tonight, it's Matt Harvey and Jose Fernandez, right?
Oh, is it? Oh,
I think so. Yeah.
Well, is the rain out today? Will Markham start? I hope they just skip Markham.
They could skip him for the rest of the year.
Yeah. If it was supposed to be Harvey, then.
Okay. It says here on the official New York Mets site, it says Friday night, Fernandez and Harvey. And I think they'll keep that alive.
I think so too. I can't imagine they'll skip Harvey for Markham. And that Jose Fernandez, man, he's the real deal.
Oh yeah.
He's great. He's got a 95 mile an hour fastball, curveball and slider that are just off the charts. I like that kid a lot.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And like I said, this other kid they've got, Jacob Turner, he's going to be okay. And when they move Giancarlo Stanton, and they're going to get a haul for him too.
I don't think they're going to trade him.
Okay, why?
Because he's 24 years old. They have him under control for another, 3 years, I think. I understand they can get a lot of young players for him, but he's already a young player. I just think he's going to be the centerpiece of the new team. I mean, I can see them trading him like right before free agency or something, because I don't think he's going to re-sign there or they would have the money for it. But I think in the interim, I don't think they're going to trade him.
Yeah, it makes sense, I guess. I think that makes sense.
You know, I'm wrong a lot, so.
Not often. Not a lot, I guess. Not a lot.
And don't forget, they got a bunch of young guys in the Ramirez trade and when they dumped everyone on the Blue Jays. So I think their retooling is already underway. Do they need three more prospects for Stanton, a proven superstar, to get three other guys who may not make it? So I don't know. I wouldn't trade him.
Sounds perfect. All right, Mark, great stuff tonight. Thanks for being a part of it.
Thank you.
All right, that was Mark Berman, and you can find him at bloggingmets.com, and I suggest that you do. Coming up next, Alex Hall and I will be taking a look at the American League West. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show. And we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen,
tonight we come together.
Cool.
And I think it's cool.
Somebody's going to be having fun tonight.
All I want to do is go have a good time. It's all about
tonight. Phil Nason.
Some of the things that these people say.
Jimmy Z.
That is such twisted logic.
Alex Jones.
You heard it here first. Now it's mainstream news.
Weeknights starting at 10 Eastern.
Okay, well, let's go party. Yeah,
tomorrow can wait till tomorrow.
Ah, it's a lot of fun.
I said tomorrow can wait till tomorrow. It's all about tonight.
And we'll have fun, I promise.
Yeah, it's all about tonight.
Weeknights on the Talk Superstation.
It's all about tonight.
If you're moving to the Atlanta area or simply looking to buy that new dream home, we'll look no further than to real estate agent Latricia Friesen. Latricia has over 10 years in real estate experience, and she's anxious to put you in your brand new home. For more information, you can contact Latricia at latricia.com. That's LETRISSA.com. Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nason Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another
Phil Nason Show. Are you tired of boring sports websites that's about the same old company line? If you are, then I'd invite you to stop over to thesportsgoons.com. Their edgy commentary and a weekly podcast highlighting today's issues is second to none. That's thesportsgoons.com. The new media has arrived.
This Week in Tennis is a weekly tennis program covering all aspects of professional tennis. The most controversial tennis show anywhere deals with issues no one seems to want to touch. For music and hard-hitting commentary, please visit philnasons.com. Looking for the latest information on your favorite sports team? Why not check out 15-year-old founder Trevor Urenz, prosportsextra.com. Updated daily by a staff of over 30 writers, prosportsextra.com is the place to be. You can check them out, and I insist that you do, at prosportsextra.com. Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nasons Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination. Welcome back to the Phil Nasons Show. It is June the 7th, 2013, and on the line from AthleticsNation.com, where the weekly Oakland A's report is our good friend, Mr. Alex Hall. Alex, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
The Oakland A's are the hottest team in baseball.
Apparently so. Now, there's a subject that I wanted to talk about that is very near and dear to my heart. His name is Yoannis Cespedes. He's on two of my fantasy league teams. And God bless him. He is on a roll again, isn't he?
He sure is. And I know it feels like I say this every week, but as Cespedes goes, the A's go. They've won 16 of their last 19 games. They've won the last six series that they've played against, what, Royals, Rangers, you know, four overall against the Giants. There's one in the Brewers there. There's a White Sox in there. And I've slipped in my mind the other team. Houston was the other team. Six straight series that they've won. And wouldn't you know it, Yoannis Cespedes, in his last 19 games, that's including the game in progress tonight, Thursday night, sitting 318, slugging over 600, six homers, including his first multi-homer game of his career a couple days ago against Milwaukee. And now he's already got another multi-homer game tonight. The game's not even over yet. He's two for his first three with a pair of homers. So there's six homers in this 19-game stretch. Eight walks, 17 strikeouts. So that plate discipline is starting to come back. That was something he was struggling with earlier in the year. And it feels like I say it every time, but when Cespedes heats up, the A's start winning. As he goes, they go. It just seems to work like that every time. And I saw a stat today that over the last 162 games. So, you know, one full season not a specific season, but just over the last 162 games, the A's have the best record in baseball.
God bless you, Cespedes.
That's right. A Cespedes for the rest of us. That's what we say here.
I just say God bless you. Because the one team he's on, I'm decimated by injuries. I'm in dead last. And now Hanley Ramirez is finally back, so maybe I can get out of there. Because I got a long way to go still, you know. But God bless you. Anyway.
Now, is that injury-riddled team the one that has Josh Reddick on it?
Yeah, I had to let him go finally.
Ooh, I would go and pick him back up, honestly.
I traded him, actually.
Back. He's in that case, no. But he's back.
Tell us about Josh.
Well, he's this is entering tonight's game, so not counting what's happened tonight. 6 for 21. That doesn't sound that great. Couple of doubles, but he's hitting the ball hard practically every time. He's had a handful of real sharp line drives that have been robbed by the defense. And over this small of a sample, over 21 at bats, it's easy for a couple of, you know, unfortunate outs to really swing the percentages. So 6 for 21 doesn't sound great, but it could just as easily be 9 or 10 for 21. Couple of doubles. He's only struck out once since he's been back for these 20 odd plate appearances, and he's walked once. You know, strikeouts could be a bit of a problem for him last year. He's a very free swinger. He can chase some of these breaking balls out of the zone sometimes. So to see him only, you know, to come back from missing a month or whatever, to come back and be all out of practice and have his timing off and only strike out once in 20 odd plate appearances, that's impressive. And wouldn't you know, about 10 minutes before we started talking here, he just hit his first homer since he came back from the DL, and he launched it off of a left-handed pitcher, no less. So I got to say, at the plate, he's looking real good. He's looking as good as he's been all year. And I think you're going to find that, you know, 180 batting average or whatever, that's going to start shooting up because he's swinging a good bat right now. And when he starts making a lot of contact, that ball can go real far and he can rip off a string of home runs. You know, if you're not paying attention, all of a sudden he'll hit 3 or 4 homers in a week and he'll be back. And on top of that as well, he just threw a runner out at the plate earlier tonight as well. It was a shallow fly ball to right. I'm not sure why the catcher, Tyler Flowers, decided to tag and run on one of the best arms in baseball from shallow right field, but that's what he decided to do. Reddick threw him out by about 15 feet. It was not even a little bit close. Derek Norris, Oakland's catcher, was standing a good 10 feet up the line, receives the throw. And, you know, Norris wasn't even at that. I'm sorry, Flowers hadn't even reached that point yet. He was out by 15 or 20 feet. So he's back at the plate. His defense is back, his throwing. And this was his right wrist, his throwing arm that was injured. So it's nice to see him with a big, strong throw like he was able to do last year. I got to say, Josh Reddick is totally back, and I am excited to see him starting to play well again. And, you know, a healthy, productive Reddick is going to go a long way to keeping this hot A's team playing hot and playing well, because they were doing great without him contributing anything. And you saw how good he was last year. He should have been an all-star. He had 30 homers, wins a gold glove. So insert that player back onto a team that was already the hottest team in baseball. And, you know, starting to add in guys like a Reddick and a Parker and a Straley, you're starting to talk once again about a team that contend. And I'm going to be honest, a team that can contend for the World Series this year.
Yeah, sure. I have no doubt about that. No doubt. I'll tell you what, the West is weird, huh?
Hey, it is. But hey, I got one more A's player for you, and it's okay. a little bit of a downer, and that's Sean Doolittle, who has been lights out all year, and he was starting to look like he might get a little talk for an all-star bid. But in his last 3 outings, he has been struggling mightily. Multiple runs in each outing, and he blew a couple of saves in the last one. He gave up so 2 1/3 innings in his last 3 appearances. He's given up 7 runs on 9 hits. The second of those 3 appearances, he blew a save. In his last appearance, he didn't technically blow the save because Ryan Cook came in and technically allowed the inherited runner to score. But as far as I'm concerned, Doolittle blew that save because he came into a 3-0 ball game and gave up 3 hits on 4 pitches. And before you knew it, that game was tied, and the A's ended up losing in extra innings. Now, I say 7 runs on 9 hits. That sounds real bad, but the good news is there's no home runs in there and only 1 walk. So he's not falling apart, losing his control, and he's not getting absolutely pounded. The hitters are just getting some good, solid contact off him, and that's a big distinction. You know, I can handle some singles and doubles. If he was giving up moonshots in every at-bat, that would be a little bit different. And he came out after this last appearance and said he had figured out a little minor flaw in his delivery that was maybe affecting some of the deception that is so important to him, since he only throws 1 pitch, you know, a mid-90s fastball. So he needs that deception in his delivery to fool the hitters, and he wasn't getting it, apparently. So he thinks he's identified the problem and he can fix it. We'll see. It's good news that it doesn't sound like any injury concern. He's not lost his control. I expect he'll be fine. You can get this kind of small sample noise when you're dealing with relief pitcher statistics. They don't throw that many innings, so a couple of bad outings can skew their entire season. That's why it seems like relief pitchers can fluctuate so wildly. So it ruins his ERA for a while. His ERA is up over 3 now. It was underneath 1 just a week or two ago. Probably cost him his all-star bid, because a middle reliever with an ERA around 2 or 3 is not going to make the all-star team. But, you know, I think he's going to be fine. He's going to work past this. He's a young guy, very inexperienced. And if he's already figured out what was wrong and he can fix that, I'm not worried about him at all.
Sounds good. But honestly, the West is crazy. Here's what we have so far. Texas is in first by 1.5 over Oakland. And then here's where it all goes weird. The Angels are 11 games out. Seattle's 11 games out. And Houston's 15.5 games out. What in the world is going on in the West?
Well, let's take a team by team look through here. We'll start out with the short version, and that is, honestly, at this point, I think this is a two-team race. This is Rangers and A's, but we'll get there in a minute. It's not quite that simple. Starting out with Texas, they've had, although they're sitting there in first place, which is a familiar position for them lately, they've been doing it a bit differently than they seemingly ever really have, because their pitching has been the key. Normally, you think of the Texas Rangers in their you know, hot weather and their ballpark launching home runs all over, and they're all hitting. Well, this year, they've got the 5th fewest runs allowed in the majors. They're still a top 10 offense. They're usually like a top 3, top 5 offense. You know, they lost some big hitters over the offseason and didn't add a whole lot. But that pitching staff has been really carrying them. And what's even more impressive about being in first place is the number of key injuries that they've had. They lost Colby Lewis and Neftali Feliz last year to Tommy John surgery, so they haven't pitched yet. Lewis is a mid-rotation starter. Feliz has been their closer for years. They've also lost Matt Harrison for a while. He's been on the DL for a minute. Alexi Agondo, another starting pitcher, had missed some time. He has just returned. He just made a start the other day, so he's back. But they were missing 3 of their starting pitchers, Lewis, Harrison, Agondo, for a large percentage of the season. And one of their key relief pitchers, plus Ian Kinsler, their all-star second baseman, who they just recently, you know, inked to a big contract. He's missed some time this year. And Mitch Moreland, who's honestly been their best hitter so far this year. He just went on the DL a couple of days ago. He pulled his hamstring, so you would assume that'll be a short-term DL stint. But Moreland he's been their first baseman, and he's been around for a few years, but he's kind of been under the radar. He's never really had that breakout season. He's been killing the ball this year. He's been sitting there with, he's got like a dozen home runs. He's slugging .561. He's been a real good hitter. So for their sake, you would hope he doesn't miss too much time. For my sake, you know, I don't mind if the Rangers lose a few games. I never want a player to be hurt though. So I always root for the players to come back and be healthy. But you figure there's 3 starting pitchers, the right side of their infield and a key reliever, and they're still in first place because they still got Adrian Beltre, Nelson Cruz, Lance Berkman, 3 big hitters right there. Elvis Andrus, and they've got Profar, their big 20-year-old prospect, to come up and fill in for Kinsler, so they're still strong up the middle. And even with those injuries to the rotation, they still got Yu Darvish, who is one of the best pitchers in the majors. He's still a Cy Young front runner. They've got Derek Holland, who's pitching very well this year. And then there's Agondo, who's having a good year as well. A couple of young guys, Tepish and Grimm. Tepish has been pitching very well. Grimm was pitching well for the most part. He just got pounded by the Red Sox, so his ERA has shot up over 5. But don't let that fool you. He's been having a good season so far. So they've got enough depth and enough, you know, good players that even with all the injuries, they've still been having a good season. That bullpen has only blown 3 saves. That's tied with the Yankees for the best in baseball. So all the offseason losses with Hamilton and Napoli and whoever, there's still room for improvement on this first place team when some of these injured players come back, and most of them should come back. So it'll be like they have their own personal trading deadline, you know, when all these big name players come back from their injuries.
I'll tell you what, Moreland's also raking, but here's the thing. What do you think's going to happen if Nelson Cruz winds up getting suspended?
Well, you know, that'll just be one more, you know, piece of adversity for them. They'll have to find someone else to replace him with. They've still got, I think David Murphy's still around there somewhere. Mm-hmm. They've got Martin, their rookie center fielder. Craig Gentry is still on that roster. He was starting last year. So, you know, you lose your power hitting Cruz. You replace him with the speed and defense Craig Gentry. And then when you get Kinsler and Moreland back, there's your power back. So this team has enough depth that even if they do lose Nelson Cruz, I mean, so what? So they lose a seventh big player instead of just six? You know, it hasn't cost them so far. So, yeah, you know, maybe he gets suspended. And I just don't think it'll necessarily be, you know, the deal breaker for their season, because they have such a good deep roster. They can withstand these losses. Eventually you lose so many guys, you can't withstand it. But one more player, fine. You know, I think they'll be just fine.
What about the rumor that perhaps they're going to trade either Kinsler or Profar for a frontline pitcher, perhaps David Price of Tampa Bay? How does a Price help Texas?
I sure don't want to see that, because Price obviously won the Cy Young last year. He's a fantastic pitcher. And so that's dealing from a position of depth. Kinsler is now on a big contract and he's injury prone, so he's a very good player. But, you know, do you trade one of your stars like that, or do you trade the up and coming, you know, top elite prospect? I mean, either way, they're still going to have an excellent starting second baseman. So if you can add, you know, a Cy Young starting pitcher and not even create a hole in your lineup, I mean, geez, as an A's fan, I sure hope they don't do that. If I was a Rangers fan, I'd be very excited about that prospect.
Yeah, me too. But I think Cruz is going to wind up getting 100 games, so it won't matter.
Yeah, we'll see. But moving far, far down the standings, we'll go with the Angels next.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you.
You know, as an A's fan, our big rival is the Giants. Geographically, you know, because you live in the same town with a bunch of Giants fans and you have all the arguments. You go out to the bar and there's a bunch of Giants fans around you watching the Giants game, and you get, you know, you pick the fights or whatever. But just in terms of actual, you know, division, you know, functional rivalries, A's and Angels are, man, I got to say, A's fans do not like the Angels and Angels fans do not like the A's. And so it is delicious to see the struggles of the Angels right now. I got to say, A's fans are loving this in that schadenfreude kind of way, because the Angels are underachieving in every conceivable way. Their offense has been decent, but it was supposed to be elite. When you've got Trout, Hamilton, and Pujols in one lineup, if you're not one of the top three or four teams in the league offensively, that's just a bummer for you, man. And they've got to, you know, they're doing decent. I think they're something like number 12 in scoring. But again, they should be much higher than that. And there's room for improvement. You know, these MVP star players can always come back to form. But, you know, they're getting older and you never know. But their pitching is an absolute mess. Now, Jared Weaver and Tommy Hansen, supposed to be two of their top starters, have just come back from injury. So we'll see how that changes the equation. They've got Jason Vargas, who's been very solid. But C.J. Wilson, one of their big ticket starters, he's only been average. And Joe Blanton has been awful. His ERA is 5.5, and he's pitching like that. He's given up a ton of hits. And their bullpen also is just nothing to write home about. There's not a whole lot to get excited about in their bullpen. So the pitching is a mess. You've got Trout, who's been good at the plate. But, you know, Pujols, 732 OPS. Hamilton, 660 OPS. These guys are supposed to be OPSing over 900 each, and they are just blowing it right now. Now, I could see Pujols coming back at any moment like he did the last couple of years, where he started slowly, and then by the end of the year, he's like, oh, he's got good stats. But Josh Hamilton, you got to start getting worried about that guy, because for as quickly as he came, I don't want to say came out of nowhere, because he was always, you know, an extremely talented player with his own issues we won't get into. But when he did make it finally to Major League Baseball, with the Reds and the Rangers, you know, he came on so quickly. You know, is it that weird to see him fall off again so quickly? He's chasing pitches. He's just not getting good swings. And, you know, you have to wonder, is he going to figure it out again and become the elite $25 million Josh Hamilton? Or is he going to settle in a couple notches below where he was in his MVP prime? I mean, yeah, I don't think he'll finish the season with a 660 OPS. But I mean, is he going to break 800 this year? I don't know. He's only got another, you know, two thirds of a season to counteract what he's done so far. But then they've also got Mark Trumbo, who's an excellent power bat. That guy terrifies me at the plate. He hit like a 480-foot homer off the A's this year. He is extremely good. He's got a bat. So it's tough to count this team out because there's so much star power and so much talent. But it hasn't worked out so far. You know, some of these guys like Pujols and Weaver, they can catch fire. They can ignite that big winning streak, that big month or two that could jump them right back into the race. So you can never count out a team like this. But they have dug such a deep hole. It's going to require not just them coming back. It's going to require a team ahead of them collapsing also. The A's or the Rangers are going to have to fall off quite a bit for the Angels to catch them. They're already, what, 10 games back of Oakland and 11 back of Texas? That's a huge hole in June. It's doable, but it's going to take more than just the Angels being better than they have been. So we'll see. But man, as an A's fan, you got to enjoy seeing the Angels struggle this much, as mean as that sounds.
There's a lot of people that are enjoying it because of all the money they spent. But one of the things that one of the players who kept them in the game is Howie Kendrick. Howie Kendrick's having a great year. Trumbo's hit 15 home runs already.
Yeah, hey, Kendrick is one of those underrated, under-the-radar kind of guys. That second baseman, he doesn't get a whole lot of press, but it seems like he's always hitting 300. He's always hitting some key homers, and he's one of those under-the-radar players that has been helping drive these good Angels teams all these years, but he's just not the $20 million superstar, so you don't hear a lot about him. But he's good. I'm always afraid of that guy when we play the Angels.
Jason Vargas is having a good year, too, because somebody there has to.
Hey, someone's got to be decent, right?
Yeah.
And I think he just got an award. Did he just get pitcher of the month or something like that?
I think so, yeah.
You know, he's a solid pitcher, but that's it. He's not going to be your ace. He's not going to catch fire and carry you to the playoffs. That's going to have to be Weaver. That's going to have to be Wilson and maybe Hanson and the hitters. And I just don't think that the Angels have enough depth that if these superstars don't pick it up real quick like now, there's not enough to carry them into the playoffs. But looking down at the other bottom feeders, right? We've got Seattle and Houston, and they are just about where they should be. Seattle has a few excellent players and then nothing much else. You've got Felix Hernandez, who's as great as ever. And you've got Hisashi Iwakuma, their Japanese starter, quietly one of the best starters in the majors this year. He's got a 1.94 ERA, 6 strikeouts per walk. So that ERA is not a huge fluke necessarily. I mean, he's going to start giving up some more hits. He's got like 6 hits per 9 innings or something. I mean, that's going to come up a bit. But 6 strikeouts per walk makes me think that ERA, you know, it'll come up a little bit. But, you know, he could have an ERA in the low or mid 2 range, you know, 220, 250. If he finished the year like that, I wouldn't be hugely shocked. He's really impressed me. And you know, he was a guy that the A's almost signed out of Japan, and then he wanted just way too much money. And I didn't see this coming. He's been fantastic this year. But then after those two pitchers, and, you know, their closer Wilhelmsson is all right, there's just not a whole lot else there. At the plate, they've got Kyle Seager, another extremely underrated hitter in baseball. He's been one of their best hitters for the second year in a row. And then you've got the power bats, Morales, Morse, and Ibanez, 3 guys they picked up over the offseason, and to a lesser extent, Jason Bay. And hey, you know, they're doing what they came to do. They're hitting a bit. They're hitting some homers. The Mariners, you know, they're not last in scoring anymore like it seems like they are every year. So they're adding some pop, but they're not adding anything else. And Seattle's defense has been atrocious this year. Anytime you've got guys like Ibanez and Morales in the field, that's gonna happen. They've got a bunch of DHs playing all over the field. And you know, that's better than, you know, it's better than what they've been throwing out there the last few years, but I gotta look at this. And then you've got, you know, Dustin Ackley and Jesus Montero. They're two hugely highly touted young players have just fallen completely flat, so much so they've been demoted. So this is a bad team. These two guys have been so terrible that they sent them down to AAA. They weren't even worth giving them more major league at bats. Justin Smoke, the other guy that was supposed to maybe be one of their up and comers, he's been both bad and now injured. And you got to look at this as just another lost year for Seattle. You know, they needed this year for these young players to start stepping up and showing that they were going to be the core of the next Mariners team. And that hasn't happened. You know, these DHs in their lineup, these Morales and Ibanez guys, they're not going to be there, you know, on the long term. So sure, you got a few extra homers this year, but what are you going to have next year? If Ackley and Montero aren't there next year, you know, playing well like they're supposed to, then you haven't gained anything on the long term. So we'll see about them. And then you've got Houston, who's
Seattle's got Starbucks. We've got about a minute to go, Alex.
Sure.
Houston's playing okay, but forget about them. They're done. Let me ask you this before we close this, because we have to close in a second. How do you see the West shaping up?
Pretty much like, like I say, two-team race, A's and Rangers. No way to predict that right now. Of course, I would like to say the A's will finish on top, but I can't say that for certain. Those two will be on the top. The Angels will recover a bit. I still think they'll finish in a comfortable third, but they will get separation between Seattle and Houston. Really quick, all at Houston. You know, Houston has been just trying out a couple of players. Chris Carter, he's got the power, leading the majors in strikeout rate. And the only real pitcher they have is Bud Norris. But I got to assume they'll trade that guy at the deadline. He's 28 years old. He's going to start getting expensive soon. So, you know, Houston is doing what they should be, trying out whatever they can. Not a lot of it is working, but at least they're not wasting at bats on short-term players. So, yeah, Houston's going to finish in last. It's going to go Oakland, Texas, one way or the other on top. Angels, Seattle, Houston. There's your AL West at the end of the season.
Awesome stuff. I got Oakland all the way. Anyway, that's going to wrap. You can find Alex over at AthleticsNation.com. And that's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Nason Show. Special thanks to both my guests, Mark Berman and Alex Hall. Great stuff once again. On Monday, Stephen Goldman from SB Nation MLB will be here to break down the steroid scandal and talk all about his surprises, disappointments, and just basically talking baseball with me. It's going to be a great show. That was my big announcement, by the way, that I said I would make. Anyway, until then, y'all take care of yourselves. Be good. And most importantly, thanks for listening. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you.